Last week we started a sermon entitled, What is True Love? And looked at the love chapter. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what we call the love chapter, where Paul describes love. Tells us what love is and what love is not. And just the first four verses, we found that love is more than words. It's not just about what we say. Paul talked about that. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Don't matter how good you can speak, if there's no love, it's just a noise, meaningless noise. And he also told us that love is more than gifts and talents. Verse 2, he says, do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge? And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. So it don't matter what talents we have, what gifts we've been given, if there's no love, it's meaningless. Is love important? Absolutely. Paramount. God is love. Okay? And so, without that, we're nothing. Then he said, love is more than deeds. Do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? Do I give my body to be burned and have not love? Profits me nothing. So all these good things we do, without love, they're meaningless. You know, all this going and serving others and helping others and whatever we do and whatever good neighbor we are, you know, how we help others and do those things, if we do it without love, it's meaningless. And so, then in verse number 4, we found out that love is long-suffering. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now notice he qualifies that when people are persecuting you and mistreating you for his sake. Not because of something crazy you've done, you know, something evil you've done and they're persecuting you over that, but when you've done something for Christ's sake and you're being persecuted for that, they are accusing you of all sorts of things. When you do it for Christ's sake, he said you'll be blessed. He goes on to say, not only is love long-suffering, it's kind. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 31, Bible says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. Well, we get our golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. And so, love is kind, kind-hearted. It's kind to people, you know. It's not envious. It's, you don't envy others and what they have, but you are thankful for what you have, and Thank God is thankful for how God has blessed you and what He has blessed you with. And Paul says, whatever state you're in, be content. That don't mean whether you're in Mississippi or Alabama or Florida. It means whatever condition you are. He said, be content with that. And of course, all this goes without saying when you are doing what God has called you to do. When you are taking care of yourself, when you're working and trying to provide, and sometimes things just don't go right. When you're doing your best, he says, whatever state, whatever condition you're in, be content. Know that God will take care of you. That's His promise. And I think I gave you a pretty good illustration of that, how God takes care of us. And how He did took care of us on our trip. So it's not envious, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We live in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Love is not envious. You know, love does not say, "Boy, I really envy my neighbor because he's got, man, that's a nice car. I'd like to have that car." You know, or he wears nice clothes, and I wish I had those clothes. Or, you know, envious. Do we see a lot of envy in our everyday life? Yes, we see people that are always, as a matter of fact, a lot of them go beyond just envy into, they're so envious that they try their best to take that is someone else's because of envy, because they're envious of someone else. Another good one Paul mentioned there is in the latter part of verse 4. Love does not always have to be the first. You know anybody that always has to be first? You know? Their ideas are most important. Yours are not really important. You know? Mine, whatever my ideas are, whatever I want, you know, I want to be the first in line or the first, you know, to be seen. If we're going to take photos, I want to be out front. You know, love don't do that. Love don't have to be first. It always puts the needs of others ahead of their own. That's hard for a lot of people to do. Because that is contrary to what a lot of us are taught. I say a lot of us. I was not taught that way. That to take care of number one. But a lot of people teach their children, you better take care of number one. Take care of yourself first. Because if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is. The Bible says that we need to take care of the needs of others. Put others first. And chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 3, said, let nothing be done by through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem or regard others better than themselves. So put others, the needs of others. What a beautiful world it would be if we were always trying to help others, you know, instead of always wanting to be the one being helped. I personally don't want to be the one that has to have help. You know, I've stopped to help someone maybe with a flat tire or out of gas or something, you know, side road, and stop, help them. And after you help them, they say, well, maybe I'll catch you like this sometime and I can help you. And I said, no, maybe you won't catch me like this sometime. But if you see anyone in that need, help them, you know. But don't wish that on me, you know, that you'll find me with a flat tire or out of gas or whatever, you know. But think about the needs of others ahead of your own. I was blessed last night on the side of the interstate, pulled off with a blown tire on the trailer, and the first vehicle that came by stopped. Need some help? Of course, we had all the equipment we needed and didn't need it, but he stopped to see if we needed some help. He was more interested in our needs than he was getting to his destination. That is a demonstration of love. Love's not puffed up. It's not proud. Pride is a very dangerous thing. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is one of the seven things listed in Proverbs that the Lord hates. In Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, he mentions a list of seven things that the Lord hates. He says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look is number one. Pride is number one in the list of things that the Lord hates. So pride is dangerous. Don't get built up with your pride and boastful about how good you are and what you can do and all that. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so pride is a very dangerous thing. Now, there is a good type of pride, and that's not the type of pride that we're talking about. We ought to have enough pride in ourselves to take care of ourselves, you know, to try to look decent, you know, to be careful about how we go out in public, you know. There's enough pride to maybe work a little bit toward keeping our place somewhat presentable. Not, you know, it don't have to all be manicured all the time. We're not built using that kind of pride, so we got to have the prettiest place in town, but just presentable. There's a good type of pride, but this type of pride is talking about how we're puffed up and we're proud of ourselves and proud of who we are and what we've got, because we've got the best and we are the best and we can do the best. You know, I'm the best in a particular sport, or in, you know, I'm the best preacher in town. You know, that pride is number one on God's list of things that He hates. Pride. So be careful. Love is not prideful. So pride is not of God. Never find where Jesus was puffed up with pride, can you? No, He's always taking care of somebody else, always putting somebody else first. And He's very humble, and that's what we need to be. Love is humble, not prideful. And so this morning, we're going to pick up in verse 5 and see how far we go. We may get to verse 6. You know, we'll go as far as the Lord leads, I pray. Okay? But we're going to start in verse 5 in 1 Corinthians, where we find that love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. And it's not easily angered. You ever see a place in Scripture where Jesus was rude to anyone? Someone say, oh, yeah, he came into the temple and turned over the tables of the money changers. Was he being rude? No. Jesus was never rude. He was always humble. He was always looking out for the other person. He was always trying to take care and help somebody wherever he went. He was trying to help somebody. He was not rude. When the lady tugged on the hem of his garment, did he turn around and say, what are you doing pulling on my garment? Who are you anyway? No. He had compassion on her. And everyone else that came to him, he was not rude to them. He wanted to meet their needs, and he did meet their needs. He wants to meet our needs today. And he will meet our needs if we will simply surrender to him and allow him to. So you can't find a place in the Bible where Jesus was rude. Now, I've seen many people who profess to be Christians that are very rude, speaking sharply at others. That's not love. Love's not rude. It's kind, it's compassionate, it's caring about other people and their needs. A selfish, self-centered spirit is in direct conflict with Christ. Had Jesus had a selfish attitude or selfish nature, we'd all be in desperate need today. Because if it had been all about him, if he would have been selfish and self-centered, would he have suffered all the abuse, the beating, the false accusations that were hurled at him? How many of us love that? None of us loves to be falsely accused. I don't care what it is. You don't like for somebody to accuse you of something you're not guilty of. Oh, sometimes we kind of bit a little bit boastful, and we kind of enjoy when somebody thought we might have done something good and we were not really responsible, and they give us credit for it, and sometimes we don't say anything when, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, Brother Mike did so-and-so. And I say, no. I said, no, well, don't give me credit for that. I'm not guilty. I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. I didn't do that, you know. So, we're not rude. We don't insist our own way, you know. We don't like to be falsely accused. But Jesus was willing to do that. And he did it. Had he not accepted all that and taken all that, we'd be all lost today and headed for a devil's hell. Because Jesus is our only way, our only hope. He's the only way we can be saved. There's no other way. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. He didn't say I'm the best way. He said I'm the only way. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only way to escape hell. He's the only way to enjoy the benefits and the blessings of this life and for eternity. And so, I'm thankful that Jesus did not have a selfish attitude or selfish nature, but he had a humble, compassionate person who was willing to give his life to pay for my sin and for yours. And I'm thankful for that. He suffered much. That's what he did. And that's what we all need to learn to do. We need to call on God to help us in those situations so that we're able to glorify him in every situation, no matter how difficult it might be. Is it easy to suffer persecution for Christ's sake? No. It's never easy to suffer persecution, no matter the cause. It's not easy to suffer persecution for Christ's sake. But it's what love does. And although we cannot do that within ourselves and within our human abilities, we don't have the ability to endure all that by ourselves without getting angry, without being rude. We can call on God in our times of trouble and allow Him to help us. He said, cast your cares on me because I care about you. In Matthew, He invites us to come to Him. He says, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, when you're going through a difficult time, come to me, let me help you. Yoke up with me, and I will help you carry that heavy load. He said, come to me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Jesus wants us to yoke up with Him like they used to yoke up the two oxen. They put a healthy, strong ox with a weaker ox so that that strong ox could help that younger, weaker ox pull a heavy load. Well, we're the weaker. He's the stronger. If we'll yoke up with Him, He'll help us carry that load. He'll also show us the path because He's the way. That was another reason for yoking the more experienced with the less experienced, is because the more experienced would teach the younger, less experienced the path, the right way to go. And Jesus invites us to yoke up with Him so He can help us pull that heavy load that we're bearing. Somebody's persecuting us. Somebody's talking about us. Somebody's falsely accusing us. And we need Him. We need to yoke up with Him so that He can help us get through this difficult time. And He will if we will just simply allow Him to. And so we have to come to Him, allow Him to carry us through these situations. Call on God for help in those situations. And when we do, we'll be blessed. Paul reminds us again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 31 through 33. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give no offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Live your life in such a way that others will like being around you. Don't live your life in such a way that people don't want to be around you. You know anybody that you don't really like to be around? Because they're just arrogant? You know, it's always got to be their way or the highway. You know, that don't be that person. Be that person who demonstrates a life of love that is like a magnet that draws people to you because people like to be around you because they like to be around somebody that loves. You know, somebody that really cares about somebody besides themselves. Somebody that is compassionate about other people. That's what people like. Isn't that what we like to be around? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because there wouldn't be any. If I asked for a show of hands, how many people like to be around somebody that's really arrogant and self-centered and got to have it their way? We don't like that. So let's don't be that person. Let's be that person that will draw people not necessarily to ourselves, but that will draw people to the Christ that we serve. That will draw people to the Christ that we imitate because we are serving Him and God is love. And so if we are His children, we're going to love one another. We're going to love people, even people that are not like us, even people that don't think like us, and people that don't act like us. But we love them. We don't love their sin because we don't love sin. God don't love their sin. But God loves their soul. We don't love their sin, but we need to love the soul. We need to love that individual enough to lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. And if it's not shining from us, what is our Vacation Bible School theme? Illuminate. Let your light shine. Matthew 6:19, I believe, says, we need to let our light shine so that others will see our good works and not glorify ourselves, but our Father which is in heaven. 5:16, I'm sorry. We need to live our life so people will see Christ in us and will want a relationship with the one that we have a relationship with. Well, I told you we was going to get to maybe verse 6. Don't think we're going to get there today. Lord willing, we'll get there if He don't come get us out of this mess first. That's very possible that He might come get us. Which reminds me that if we're not ready, we don't have time to waste. If you're not ready to slip into eternity, you say, oh, I'm young, I'm healthy, I got plenty of time. I'm glad you know that. But according to my Bible, nobody knows that. We don't know how much time we have, but we have one promise. Well, a lot of promises, but one concerning that is that there's an appointment that we're all going to make. That appointment is with death. And Jesus said that we don't know when that is. None of us. He don't even know. He said, only the Father knows that. But Jesus encourages us to be ready. You know, when you're waiting on somebody to come get you, you know, you're probably going to be ready. Maybe sitting out on the porch waiting on them when they get there. Well, I can tell you that Jesus is coming back. And He's coming back to get those who have trusted Him to be Savior and let Him become Lord of their life. And He said, I'm coming, so be ready. But I can't tell you when I'm coming. So you just have to stay ready. Are you ready? If He came right now, do you know that you know that you know that you'd go to be with Him and spend eternity with Him in heaven? If you don't have that assurance, then today would be a really good day to settle that. Because the Bible says, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse from all unrighteousness. If we'll repent of our sins, He'll forgive us and He'll save us. And when He saves us, gives us eternal life, never perish, and nobody can snatch us out of His hand. Are you in His hand? How do you get there? By genuinely repenting of your sins and trusting Jesus to be your Savior, believing that He died on that cross. He paid your sin debt. If you'll believe that, if you'll repent of your sins and invite Him to take control of your life and begin to live for Him and serve Him, then you'll begin to experience the blessings that He has in store for you. Well, I don't know what the blessings are. Well, they're more than you can even imagine. You know, He takes care of you. He'll provide for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He's talking in the previous verses of physical things, material things that we need. And He said, if you'll put me first, I'll take care of those things. I'll provide for you. That's His promise. Have you committed to Him? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? If not, today is the day. This could be the best day of your life. Surrender to Christ. Allow Him to have control. And begin to enjoy the blessings that He has in store. Let's pray. Father, God, we love You. We thank You so much for loving us. We thank You for the blessings of life. God, I thank You for this opportunity to stand here today and to share the love of Christ with this group of people. I thank You for each one of them. God, I know that none of us is here by accident, but it's a divine appointment that each one of us had to be here today. Lord, there's a reason, and You're the reason. So, Lord, if there's one that's not prepared, that's not ready, who's never trusted You to be Savior, allow You to become Lord of their life, I pray right now that that person, those persons, will trust You right now. In Jesus' name and for His sake, we pray. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. You know your heart. You know if you've ever genuinely trusted Jesus. I'm not asking you if you were baptized one time, you know, or even if you made a profession of faith at one time. Have you ever genuinely repented of your sins, asked Jesus to forgive you? If you've not, you need to do that. You need to do it today because you may not see tomorrow. So how about you today? Will you make that commitment to Christ? Will you let Him begin to bless you? Take care of your needs? Anyone? Quickly. Maybe you're here and you've genuinely accepted Christ. You've allowed Satan to distract you and discourage you, and you haven't been living that life that you ought to be living. You know that. Need to rededicate your life, recommit your life. Maybe He's leading you to come join this church, to be a part of this church. Whatever the need, quickly. We're not going to tarry. If God has spoken to your heart, slip out from where you are. Come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. Confess it to God. I'll be glad to pray with you. Quickly. Anyone?